You know, everything that you see or encounter, everything was somebody's idea in particular. Everything. Now, that's very gettable when you talk about an automobile or a smartphone, a piano, upholstered seats. It was all an idea, perhaps an improvement, perhaps a revolutionary and original idea, but every single thing that you encounter was somebody's idea. There's some ideas that still mystify me, like, did somebody start out to make cottage cheese? Like, how did they know that that was it? Like, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I don't know. There's an old quote that also says, it was a brave man who first ate the oyster. Yum. But you know, like, somebody looked at it and thought, should I eat this? I don't know. It was an idea. Is it food? I don't know. Everything that you encounter was an idea. And as I say, some are more obvious than others, and some are so subtle that we do not realize it, that we assume that things have always been here. I had the great fun of showing some friends around town on Friday, some friends that I knew from my church in Nashville, Tennessee. And it was so cute. They'd never seen the Pacific Ocean. It was really kind of cute. There ain't a whole lot of water around Nashville. But one of the things that I do like to tell people who have never been to Los Angeles is that I will always point out some section of a hill or and say, oh, now take a look at that, the plant life on that hill, which generally is nothing but scrub and manzanita. I said, that's the only thing that grows here naturally. Nothing is native to Los Angeles. Not jacaranda trees, not bougainvillea, not palm trees, not cedar, not nothing that we see here is native to Los Angeles. It was all brought here, and it's not native to here because there was no water here. We're in the middle of a desert here. Someone had an idea that this climate was benign, and if you could get water here, then plant life might be happy, and indeed, anything is happy here. It grows like crazy once it's planted and watered. But it was an idea to bring plant life here, and we don't realize such things as that. We have this assumption that that's just the way things are. It was a creative idea that somebody had. At some point in the great sweep of philosophy and religion, somebody had an idea that it might be okay to reframe the very notion of God or to have a more expansive idea of God as not a person that is out to get you or may reward you or might not, but that God might be an acronym, initials for something that we cannot fully understand, but something that is the creative principle of the universe itself, something that gives rise to all of life and sustains it and then recycles it in its infinite wisdom and keeps creating expression after expression after expression. That's what God is, or in our work, which is a philosophical science, as we say, it is mind. We most often call it mind. The very first publication that has Dr. Ernest Holmes' name on it is a thing called Creative Mind. And it is a collection of talks that were transcribed. And in this, I'm going to read something to you here. In the introduction, dated October 1st, 1918, to this collection of essays, it says, this little book is an attempt to explain what each soul must discover for themselves, that they stand in the midst of an eternal creative power which presses itself around our thoughts and casts back to us, glorified, all that we think. I will read that one more time. It's not as arcane as it sounds. This is an attempt to explain what each one of us has to discover for ourselves in the fullness of time. That we stand in the midst of a creative power which presses itself around and through us and casts back to us all that we think. That's the science of mind. That's all there is to it. Rabbi Hillel, many thousands of years ago, was asked to explain all of the law and Torah while standing on one foot. I've done this dramatic demonstration once before. And he says, don't do to anybody what you wouldn't want done to you. All the rest is commentary. That explains the Jewish tradition. There is a creative principle in the universe, and it will echo back to you what you cast out into it. This book called The Science of Mind, all 1,000 pages, this is all commentary, which I deeply respect. This is a mighty work of a lifetime. But you know, as Jed Clampett says, I don't need to understand it, I just want to get in on it. You don't need to understand this. We can't. It is not for us in this incarnation on this planet to fully understand that which we are even smart enough to call the transcendent. It is beyond imagining what the nature of this creative process is and what got it going in the beginning and what its ultimate aim is and what will be the end of it. We cannot understand any of it, but we can observe how life unfolds while we are here. And what every teacher has seen and been able to replicate in degree is that what we think, we become. The Buddha said, mind is all what you think you become. This is the very first iteration of the Buddha's teaching. Mind is all what you think you become. Jesus says, it is done unto you, class, as you believe. This is very simple, yes?
Yes.
And it is the work of your lifetime to keep understanding that at deeper and more profound levels, which mostly is arrived at by letting go of all other considerations and by accepting the truth, well, you know, life will be to me what I am to it. As Dr. Holmes wrote, life will be to you what you are to it. So the perennial question is, what are you being to life? What are you being? What are you thinking? Because what you're being and what you're thinking and what you're feeling, all aspects of consciousness, is going to echo back to you an equivalent experience. What are you thinking? Are you obsessed on what is written in the news? Are you obsessed with what is on television? Are you obsessed with what people will be wearing on the red carpet tonight at the Grammy Awards? Are you, you know, if you obsess on what the fashions on the red carpet are, actually it only gets you the obsession. It doesn't mean you get an invitation to the Oscars. You have to earn that. But obsession is as obsession does. If we're obsessed on blaming people for the conditions of our lives, then we get to not have the kind of life that we want. This is such a direct and elegant teaching. And it is a deep promise, and it is also a warning. If you're not aware of the content of your consciousness, If you are not aware of the content of your consciousness and not committed to actually doing the work to become fully aware, to excavate your beliefs, what it is you truly think and feel and expect to have happen in life, if you're not up for that work, you are going to have an average, boring, usual, and not so great life experience. If you take on the creative work and the willingness to think about what it is you want to be and what it is you want to do and can hold center on that, to not be discouraged by whatever the tribal conversation was from the house you were raised in, which all of us are carrying with us forever. Would that one could have an exorcism of one's past, but you can't. You can only forgive. And when we forgive the past, it no longer has power over us. And so there is a point to being aware of it. But once the past is forgiven, there's an old church expression, forgiven the past, renewed for the future, we go forth rejoicing. And that is a good prescription for the creative process itself. Forgiven the past, we become renewed for the future. How could that be? Because we're not carrying that baggage anymore. Our load is lighter, and whatever it is we have our sight set on, we have the ability to go there in a more efficient, lean, and joyful way. We go forth rejoicing. So what is it that you have in your mind's eye? Your heart, whatever word you want to use. This is not a religion, so you don't have to memorize one so you're doing it right. What is it that you hope for? Sometimes I ask people that question. Tell me about the world you hope for. I'd like to live in a world where this happens, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens. And then make it more specific. Tell me about what you hope for yourself. What is it that you want right now? Of course, the creative process, you know it's so important to only take on one thing at a time. You know that. That's the great operating instruction as well from the opening of Genesis. It doesn't say, in the beginning, God said, Shazam, and it was all there. God said, Shazam should be in the Bible, shouldn't it? Why isn't it? All right, we got a new chapter to write, I think. You know, God created a little light. He made a little water. He separated in the dark and to daytime. He made a little land. He made a couple of attractive lakes. He made some plants. One at a time. And in the fullness of time, it was good. So one at a time, do you... Of course, this is not a have to, right? This is a get to. Do you have an image in your imagination, in your whole country of images, do you have an image of what your optimal health could be for you? Really, for you, age appropriate. Because if some of us are 60, wishing that I was 29, don't feed the bulldog. What is the optimal image that I have for me without compromising? What is the image? And am I showing up and making choices on a regular basis where that would be in the inevitable consequence? What is the image that you have for relationships? If you are in an intimate relationship, what is the image that you have of that? My partner and I are committed to what? To peace, to support, to creativity, to nurturing, to play dates, to... You know, if we don't make those decisions and choices, my partner and I will ignore each other, will be mildly frustrated with each other, will find reasons to hold each other responsible that you're not fulfilling my needs, all that kind of awful stuff that gets no one anywhere. What is it that you hope for in your home? And are you, not your partner, Are you showing up every day where that would be a reasonable expectation? And if not, why not? What is the image you have for your work life right now? Or a project that you want to see realized as a part of your work life? I am somebody, if you are in the creative arts, who's got this project on the front burner, and any minute now, whenever that's going to be, it will be a real, the deal will be closed. The deal will be closed. I guess that's a real estate term more than anything. I'm hoping to make some money this year. Forget about the hoping to make some money. When are you going to closing? And what are you doing about a new listing? Are you the type of person that's showing up every day or sitting home hoping that a friend of a friend calls and gives me a referral? That's great, and that's the way business works after a fashion. But are you still showing up every single day, and are you prepared to go to closing? Do you have everything you need? If you're an accountant, do you have the absolutely correct software that you need? Oh no, this old thing is good enough. Well, in the fullness of time, this old thing is not going to be good enough, and you're not going to have any clients. Because somebody's going to be able to do the work better, faster, more appropriately, and with a smile. That was fascinating. Does that mean that an angel's getting its wings? That's coming from the house system. Well, that was just kind of took me by surprise there, friends. Thank you for putting up with that. That's never happened before. There was a time in my life when that might have thrown me under the bus. Well, how do you expect me to work? When they're all is well, right? Yes. Right. Moving on. Relationships, community. Are you in a kind of community that supports your needs and really has a high vision of you and for you? Do you have friends that are working your last nerve or really are supportive? Not here, but actually mostly in the Nashville church where I was. Everybody seemed to have all these friends with all these problems. And oh, they want this from me. And oh, they call up and they dump on me all night long. They do this. I go, why do you have, that is not a friend. Why is anybody like that in your life? Well, I just can't get rid of them. Or, oh, it's my sister. Oh, it's, why? No, that's not the answer to the question. Why do you allow that? Why do we allow ourselves, why do we make ourselves available to be abused? That's not okay. Make another choice, right? Decide that that doesn't happen to you. That's not, you have friends that call you where you don't have to screen the calls because you go, oh, geez, that one again. Where you go, oh, great, bang, hi. It's not that things don't happen, right? They do. But you know, here's what I've learned. It's not that life is too short for those kinds of situations. It's too long. You know, if we were all going off to the moon tomorrow or something and it was never going to happen, you go, okay, so be it. That was that. But to have that expectation week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, it's too long. You get with the program now. Make some decisions. I have friends. The ones who call me are people that, yes, and am I showing up in life as the type of person for whom that would be an inevitability? Am I putting that charge into life? Because life will be to me what I am to it. That's all you need to know. This really and truly, it is the work of a lifetime, and it is very, very simple. And I say this every week, I'm sure. It is the most joyful and demanding work that you could possibly do, to assume, to take the reins and take control of your own life. Event by event, project by project, person by person, to bring a full awareness to your everyday activities, knowing that, yes, whatever I'm going to put out there is going to come back to me. So I am committed to showing up as this type of person where I will only expect blessings to come back to me. And when things are really challenging, I am still the type of person that knows how to handle my business. So when they come, they are shorter, they are not as impactful, and the end goal is totally achievable. This really is the way life works. You don't need to understand that it does, but you can take the advice of every aware human being who has ever written a memoir or shared wisdom, that this is what you can expect out of life. If life will be to you what you are to it, I invite you this week to make the decision right now that you're going to be no less than fabulous and that you will have a fabulous week. God bless you, friends. I appreciate you.